Take your Bibles, go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. We continue our series looking at the Ten Commandments. Today we're going to look at the Lord of the Sabbath. Think about Sabbath day and what that means. You know, we live in a very hectic society, don't we? Somebody said in the old days, fathers would come home from work and say, "It's a jungle out there." Now, but you're coming home to a jungle. Not you, but for people like that, right? And that's not the way the home is to be. It should be a haven of rest for us. We all need a place and time of rest. God knew that. That's why he gave us a day of rest each week. This is God's wonderful gift to his people. Let me remind you that God did not give us the Ten Commandments to just make us miserable, to make us squirm like a worm in the hot ashes. These are for our welfare. These are given for our benefit. If we'll do these things, we'll have a good life. Could you imagine? What if everybody obeyed the Ten Commandments? Wouldn't this be a great world to live in? If everybody kept the Ten Commandments. And there's coming a day in the millennial kingdom when we'll probably see that to a great extent. But until then, we're going to have to deal with a lot of people disobeying these commandments. The Sabbath day was a great gift that God gave to Israel. And we had the Lord's Day. I'm going to talk to you about comparing the Sabbath day to the Lord's Day. Why we don't worship on Saturday. Some do. But around the world, in all countries, Christians get together on Sunday for worship. And there's a reason for that. We're going to notice that here in a little bit. But I believe the Lord's Day is the transformation and fulfillment of the Old Testament Sabbath day. If you want to stand with me to honor God's word, let's read in Deuteronomy chapter 5, beginning with verse number 12. It says, "Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the Sabbath day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that's within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day." Amen. You may be seated. The word Sabbath itself means rest. It comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat. We have the English version in Sabbath. It was given to man as a day of rest and worship. Now, so far, the first commandment tells us who to worship. The next three commandments show us how to worship. There is a proper way of worship. And we're going to notice today there's a proper day of worship. A way and a day God has given to us to worship. He said we are to labor 6 days, and then the seventh day is to be a day of rest and a day of worship. We call it the Lord's Day in the church age. And we are to honor God on this day. Keep it holy. The Chinese have a legend which tells of a man going to the marketplace. He has 7 gold coins. He meets a beggar there and has compassion on this beggar. And he gives the beggar 6 of the 7 coins. He keeps 1 that he needs to purchase something at the marketplace. The beggar's also a pickpocket. And he stole the 7th coin as well. Now, Now, the parable of this is many will take the 6 days God has given them, but they're not happy with that. They want to steal the seventh day also that ought to be dedicated to the Lord. So aren't you glad you're here today? You did right. You came on the Lord's day to honor and worship our God. Let's think about this day. The Lord of the Sabbath. Two thoughts I want to share with you. Number one, what Sabbath should teach us? What this ought to teach us as God's people. We said Sabbath means rest. Let me point out three rests that we find in the Bible. First of all, there is the creation rest. The creation rest. The Sabbath day did not start with Israel. It started all the way back at the beginning of creation. Go to Genesis chapter 2 and notice the first three verses here. After the creation of the world and the universe, 6 days God created. And then on the seventh day, he rested. Genesis 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he rested from all his work which God created and made. So God started this at the very beginning. He gave Adam and Eve a Sabbath day, a day of rest. We call this God's creation rest. Why did God rest? Well, he's tuckered out. He spent 6 days creating things. And by now, he's just wore out. He needs a nap. Right? No, that's not right. God doesn't need to rest. The Bible says he fainteth not, neither is weary. The rest we're looking at here for God is more like a rest you find in music. They got a term for that in music, a rest. It's not that the musician's tired and needs to rest. It's the idea of pausing for meditation or reflection in music. We can apply that to God. After 6 days, God rested to reflect on what he had done. What did he say? And it was good. He looked upon all that he made and he said, it's good. He reflected on his work. So God does not need to rest, but we do. We need a time of rest. 6 days of labor and we need a day of rest. Now, I said the Sabbath day begins all the way back with Adam's family. If you look at Genesis chapter 4, you read about Cain and Abel. Said they came to offer sacrifice unto God. It says, in the process of time, they brought forth their offerings. In Hebrew, it actually reads, at the end of days. In the process of time, or at the end of days. What days? Days of the week. After 6 days of labor, on the seventh day, Cain and Abel came to the altar to offer up their sacrifices unto God and to worship. So they were observing the Sabbath day at the very beginning. Man needs a Sabbath. We need a time of rest and worship. So God gave the Sabbath not just to Israel, but to all mankind. They were observing the Sabbath 25 centuries before Moses came along. Right? Man needs a Sabbath. And God gave one to mankind. If you look over in Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and 28. Now Jesus always had the Pharisees and others criticizing him for doing things on the Sabbath day. He would heal on the Sabbath day. They said, no, you can't do that. Now, God did give some restrictions for the Sabbath day, but man added a lot more. Man added many more restrictions for the Sabbath day. And Jesus said to them in Mark chapter 2 that The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And he said, therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. And as the Lord of the Sabbath, he can choose what he wants to do with it. If he wants to set it aside, he can do so. And we're going to notice that in a minute, what did happen with the Sabbath day. So the Sabbath was given to man as creation rest. Secondly, think about the covenant rest as it deals with Israel. God commanded the nation of Israel in the Ten Commandments to observe a Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week. He gave that to Israel. It was a sign of the covenant that God made with them. Now, some today insist that we should observe a Saturday Sabbath, as they did in the Old Testament, that we should not be meeting on Sunday. And they say the fourth commandment should be taken literally today as Israel was expected to keep it. There are some Seventh-day Christian groups who meet and worship on Saturday. The most well-known would be the Seventh-day Adventists. And by the way, that's a cult. Because its leader, Ellen G. White, claims that what she wrote was inspired of God and equal to the Bible, and it's not. It's not. But even they don't keep the Sabbath day as the Bible says. You know, the Bible says you're not to do anything on the Sabbath day. And they don't observe all of this. Now, why do we observe Sunday as our day of worship? Well, we're under a new covenant. We're not under the covenant God made with Israel. And Sunday was given to us as our day of worship. It became known as the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. We worship on the first day by the authority and by the example of Christ and his apostles. Let me give you seven biblical reasons why we should worship on Sunday. If you want to write these down, number one, Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. Mark 16:9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. So Jesus arose. We celebrate the resurrection when we come together on Sunday. Secondly, Jesus appeared five times to his disciples on that first Sunday. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, then to a group of women, then to Peter, then to the two disciples of Emmaus, and then that evening in the upper room he appeared to all the apostles except Thomas. Thomas skipped evening service, and he wasn't there. But five times Jesus appeared on that first Sunday. Number three, the disciples received the Great Commission on a Sunday. It was on a Sunday that he gave the last commission and ascended into heaven. We see in Acts chapter 1. Number four, the Holy Spirit came upon the church on a Sunday. Acts 2:1, and when the day of Pentecost, which was a Sunday, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So they had gathered together on this Sunday for worship, when the Holy Spirit came upon them and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, endowed with power. The early churches met for worship on Sundays. Acts 20:7 says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together. So they were in the habit of meeting, coming together on a Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Number six, they collected offerings on Sunday. 1 Corinthians 16:2. So upon the first day of the week, Sunday, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. So they would come together on Sunday to worship and they would receive their offerings. This was the habit, the way that the first churches would worship on a Sunday. And one other, the revelation given to John was on the Lord's Day. It says in Revelation 1:10, John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And here behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, this is at the end. John is in his 90s. He's the last of the apostles at the end of that first century. And by this time, Sunday worship had become known as the Lord's Day. It was the Lord's Day. So that's why we worship on Sunday. Jesus gave us a day of worship. He fulfilled the Old Testament Sabbath. Now think about this. Those who insist upon keeping a Saturday Sabbath, they're living on the wrong side of Calvary. On the wrong side. We are told that the seventh-day Sabbath was a shadow of things to come. And it was fulfilled. Look over in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 with me. Paul deals with this because there were legalists among the Jews at that time that were trying to force the Gentiles to keep observing Sabbath days and different things of the Mosaic law. And so Paul dealt with this in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. He said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that's the Mosaic law, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, that's the forces of darkness, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, there was a dietary law that the Jews kept, or in drink, their drink offerings, or in respect of a holy day, their Sabbath, their Feast of Jehovah, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. So he's saying Jesus fulfilled all of that. He fulfilled it and set it aside. And the New Testament church is not expected to keep what God had given to Israel. It was a shadow of things to come. You ever see a dog chasing its shadow? Maybe something is up in the air and it leaves a shadow, and that dog is just chasing that shadow. If he'd look up, he would see the substance. People are keeping the Sabbath, are chasing shadows. They need to look up and see the substance of Jesus Christ. He fulfilled the things given to Israel in the old covenant. The third rest I want to talk to you about is Calvary rest. Think about the Calvary rest. Now, we have a fulfillment of the Sabbath day and how the fourth commandment applies to us today. We need to think about this. God rested in the first creation. Jesus rested in the new creation. Because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away, behold, all things become new. Jesus came and created a new race of people, his believers. He did not come to rest, he came to do the work of redemption. But he finished that. On the cross, he said, it is finished. Bible says in Hebrews 10:12, this man talking about Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He finished his work of redemption and he was able to sit down and rest. So there's a Calvary rest that we are involved in. Now, if I understand this, Jesus came and fulfilled the law. He fulfilled all the old covenant given to Israel. He abolished the temple worship. He not only cleansed the temple, he destroyed the temple. In AD 70, the temple was destroyed and has never been rebuilt. That's of God. There's no more to be any temple worship that was fulfilled. No more sacrifices. That was fulfilled. No more priesthood, as far as a Levitical priesthood. That was fulfilled. No more Sabbath days. That was fulfilled. You see this? It was all fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ when he came upon the earth. He didn't just get rid of the bad priests. He got rid of the priesthood. He abolished Judaism. He said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I can set it aside if I want to, because I'm the Lord. So you see a progression here. God's creation rest was disturbed by the entrance of sin into the world. The rest of the Old Testament Sabbath became unbearable burden to many people because the religious leaders kept adding more and more things to it to make it a burden. Jesus did keep the Sabbath. He did not break the Sabbath. But he did not keep all the additional rules that men put on it. All the different fast days and cleansings and all that they added to this. See, they criticized Jesus because he didn't do those things. That's not the Bible. He kept the Sabbath day as given in the Bible, but not what man added to it. You see that? He did keep the Sabbath. He fulfilled the law completely. So Jesus now says, come unto me and I will give you rest. Come unto me, I will give you rest. So we're not under the Old Testament Sabbath laws. As I said, even those who keep the Sabbath, they don't keep it. Now, if you desecrated the Sabbath day, they were to take you out and stone you to death. Did the Seventh-day Adventists take their members out and stone them when they skip church? They don't keep it as the Bible says to you. They just want to pick part of it to keep and ignore the rest of it. And you can't, if you're going to keep it, keep all of it. Amen. But we have the Lord's Day. And for us to keep the fourth commandment, I think we should take the Lord's Day and make it holy. It's a day of love, not legalism. And we need to ask ourselves, Lord, how can we honor you on this day? How Sunday should touch us? This is my second thought. How Sunday, the Lord's Day, should touch us in the church age? I want to talk to you parents again. Because the whole idea here is teaching this in our home. Okay, let me share some thoughts with you. Parents, make this a holy day. Make it a holy day. Now, you say, well, preacher, every day should be a holy day, consecrated to God. Well, that's true. But I think the Lord's Day is extra special. You know, like all of our possessions belong to God, but he wants us to bring a tithe to give to him as a token that it all belongs to God. Well, he wants us to come on the Lord's Day. All days belong to God, but this is a token, a special time for us to come together and worship together as God's people. The Lord's Day is kind of like calling a timeout. You in a ball game, they'll call a timeout. Well, once a week, we need to call a timeout and come before God and meet with God's people for a time of worship and fellowship. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's what I'm doing, right? I'm exhorting you. I'm exhorting you to be faithful in keeping the Lord's Day. Don't use it. Don't steal this from God. He's already given you 6 days. Don't steal the seventh day. Give it to the Lord in worship and praise. Dad, Mom, make this Sunday each week a priority. You know, some families have to debate whether or not they're going to go to church this coming Sunday. Maybe on Saturday, say, well, should we go to church tomorrow? We know we need to discuss this. Folks, there should be no discussion. There should be no debate. We're going to church. We go to church every Sunday. Your children need to understand that. They should never have to ask, are we going to church? That's a foregone conclusion. We're going to church. Amen. Come on. People have a lot of excuses for not going to church. Somebody said, what if we use these excuses for not going to work? Think of some of the popular excuses for people skipping church and how that would apply to your boss. You go in and say, boss, I didn't come to work yesterday because we had unexpected company show up. So we didn't feel like we should just leave our company and go to work, so we stayed home with company. Boss would go along with that, right? Or you might say, well, boss, I didn't make it in yesterday because I was tired. And I woke up and I decided just to sleep in. It's amazing how many people think sleeping in on Sunday is a good excuse. I was asking one of our teenagers, comes on Wednesday, and I said, why don't you come on Sunday? She said, well, we like to sleep in on Sunday. I said, really? So you worship the pillow god on Sunday morning. I had to explain it to her. She didn't understand. But a lot of people think, well, no, staying home and sleeping in, that's a good excuse. Amen. Some say, well, you might say, boss, I didn't come in yesterday because we decided to make it a family day. To go to the lake and have some recreation. Now, a lot of people don't come to church because Sunday's family time. Family time. We devote this day for family. We'll bring the family to church. Have family time here. So I say, well, boss, I didn't come because one of my kids was sick. So the whole family stayed home just to blow the poor kid's nose. See, these excuses don't work. They're not going to hold up on Judgment Day when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Parents, make this a priority. Teach your children that this is important. Now, they may think, well, we know going to work is important. We know that going to school is important. But going to church, well, not so much. And a little shower will keep a lot of people out of church. But the next day, they send the kids off to school in a thunderstorm. Why? Because school is important. Church, not so much. Amen. Parents, what are we teaching our children? What are we teaching our grandchildren? What is our example? Teach them that this is the day of worship and a day that is honoring God when we come together to worship. You ever notice that Sunday can be the most hectic day of the week? Trying to get together and go to church. You know why that is? The devil's fighting you. The devil's doing everything he can to keep you from going to church. Let me give you some good rules to apply to make Sunday an easier day. Parents, you might want to write these down. Number one, don't wait till Sunday morning to get ready. Start getting ready on Saturday. Saturday night, have all the baths taken, shoes polished. Y'all still polish shoes? Clothes laid out. Don't wait till the last minute to get ready. Start early. Number two, Dad, help Mom get the kids ready. And all the ladies said, help her get the kids ready. On one Sunday, a lady said to her husband, today, let's trade places. You get the kids ready, Now I'll sit in the car and honk the horn. How about having a nice breakfast on Sunday morning? Spend a little time together as a family to pray for the day, pray for the services. Don't have to wait till you get here to start that. Start that at home. Give your children an offering to give when they come to church. Give them a little something to put in the offering plate. Teach them early that part of worship is giving. Giving our tithes. Now, the kids that get a little bit older and are making money, teach them to tithe. Me and my brother Gary, when we were teenagers, had a lawnmower in service. We mowed quite a few yards around the neighborhood. And if we made $10 mowing a yard, we were expected to give $1 in offering. You know, I've never had a trouble with tithing as an adult. I'll tell you why. Because I learned it as a child. I did it as a child. It was never a problem as an adult to give tithes to the Lord's church. I think it's good. Teach your children. Train them to do this. And always be positive about what you say about the church. What you say about the pastor. Amen? I can tell the way kids treat me here what they're hearing at home. Some of these kids won't give me the time of day. I speak to them, they just keep walking. Wonder why. Are they hearing things at home that are negative about the church? About people in the church? Now, if you're doing that, if you're always negative at home, don't be surprised if your kids don't go to church when they grow up. Don't be surprised. Be positive about the church. Teach your children to respect the house of God. When they're here, teach them to respect the house of God. This has been dedicated to God as a house of worship. So make it a holy day. Secondly, make it a healthy day. It is a day of rest, right? Not only worship on this day, but we are to rest. The principle of this is predicated on 6 days of labor and then a day of rest. You may have 7 days of rest. I don't know. But some of you do work, I suppose. Work 6 days and rest the seventh. You know, we need to teach our children to work and to rest. Right? Teach them industry and then teach them tranquility. Teach them what this is all about. You know, if you're burning the candle on both ends, you're not as bright as you think you are. Write that down. Why? Some people want to use the Lord's Day just as another work day. Just another work day. A generation ago, William Gladstone in England said this. He said, "Tell me what the young men of England are doing on Sunday, and I'll tell you what the future of England is going to be." That was a generation ago. Back then, the churches in England were full. Men like Charles Haddon Robinson, or Spurgeon, spoke to a house, a huge building, packed out every Sunday morning and every Sunday night. That building today is empty. The Metropolitan Tabernacle, once thousands of people would come to hear Spurgeon, today's empty. Most of the church houses in England are empty. There was once a time, England led the world in mission work, sending men like William Carey and David Livingstone and others out as foreign missionaries. And God blessed them. The British Empire, the sun never set on the British Empire. God blessed them when they put him first. It's not true today, is it? Is America going down the same road? I'm afraid we are. Many of our churches are empty on Sunday. The ballparks are full. The lakes are full. There's a lot of Lakeside Baptists today. They ignore the Sabbath. They ignore the Lord's Day to do what they want to do. And America is going to suffer because of it. So make it a healthy day. You know, one of the things in the Old Testament that you could do on Sabbath, if your ox fell in the ditch, you were allowed to get him out of the ditch on Sabbath day. Don't just leave him there, you can get him out. Now today, preacher, I didn't make it last Sunday because I had an ox in the ditch. No, I had something, an emergency I had to do. And some use that a lot. I mean, there are oxes in the ditch just about every Sunday. Now, if that's true, you either need to kill the ox or fill in the ditch. If your ox is in the ditch every Sunday, you need to do something about that. I suspect some are pushing their ox in the ditch on Saturday. So make it a holy day. Make it a healthy day. And number three, make it a happy day. A happy day. You know, Sunday ought to be the happiest day of the week. Do you look forward to Sunday? To come and be with God's people, to worship and praise God. We come to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. This is a day of joy. This is a day of celebration. Hey, Jesus is alive. He is risen. Let us rejoice. Celebrate when we come together. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Hey, is it a day of gladness in your home? Or maybe a day of gloom? Is it a day of love or a day of legalism? Not only did the Jewish leaders make the Sabbath a burden on the people, some Protestant preachers have done the same thing. There was a time, generation ago, when people were not expected to do anything on Sunday. Not do anything. Let me give you some examples of this. In the 1600s in Virginia, failure to attend church twice each Sunday was punishable by a loss of a day's food. The second offense resulted in a public whipping. Think we ought to bring that back? A seafaring man, Captain Kimball, returned home to Boston on a Sunday after 3 years at sea. He was accused of profaning the Sabbath day because he publicly kissed his wife on a Sunday. They said this is lewd and unseemly behavior. And it earned him several hours in the stocks. Remember seeing pictures of colonial days in the public square? They're in the stocks being punished. A lot of that had to do with breaking the Sabbath day as they kept it back then. A man in Scotland was arrested for smiling on Sunday. Some of you never would be arrested for that. It was wrong to smile on Sunday. Jonathan Edwards, you've heard of him, lived back in the 1700s. He was famous for the sermon, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." They said that he would never tell a funny story in his sermons because he didn't think you should be laughing at church. He wouldn't like it here, would he? One Puritan pastor, in the winter on a very icy day, he put on his skates and skated to church. The deacons held an emergency meeting to decide whether or not he had sinned in doing that. They discussed it, and they said, "Well, we just say it's okay to skate to church if you don't enjoy it." I guess he convinced me he didn't enjoy it. Parents, Make the Lord's Day a happy day. Make this a happy day for your children, for your grandchildren. Be creative with this day. See, you want your children to look back on their childhood with happy memories. How we spent our Lord's Day, how we spent our Sundays. Happy memories. You ought to have some family traditions that are connected to Sundays. Good family traditions that you observe as a family. If your children don't enjoy coming to church, you're doing something wrong. If they don't enjoy coming to church, Mom, Dad, you're doing something wrong. This ought to be a happy day. Don't blame the church. It starts in the home. Have you come to Jesus and received your rest? He said, come unto me and I will give you rest. That's through salvation, right? Sometimes, you know, people put on tombstones, rest in peace. Rest in peace. But my friend, if you die without Christ, there's no rest. There's no peace for those who die without Jesus Christ.